Our scripture reading this morning is from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. And we'll be reading till verse 51. John chapter 6, verse 22. And keep in mind that these are the very people that have, the day before, experienced the great miracle of the multiplication of bread. More than 5,000 people experienced Christ creating bread and fish and were fed upon it. And He will meet with many of these people again in this section that we'll read. So John 6:22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest Thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye seek the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. They said therefore unto Him, What sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What doest Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto Me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Thus far, the reading of God's holy, infallible word. I invite you once more to open to John chapter 6. We'll be considering the major portion of what was read. And I'll be reading two verses, verse 35 and verse 51, that contains the bulk of the message of Christ to these people hungry for bread. John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And verse 15, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, and he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. As I mentioned, these were people who had eaten bread the day before, miraculous bread, a bread that came from that event where all they had was a few loaves of bread and some fish, but a great multitude of more than 5,000 were able to eat and be satisfied. Then they meet with Christ again. And the first thing that Christ says is concerning this bread. So of course the subject of food is in their minds. And when they say that they're seeking Him, and He sees that they're seeking Him, and it's a great multitude, by the standards of today, people would say that Christ acted completely out of the best methods that we have. Because Christ had a following, and these were seekers. But the first question Jesus puts to them, an expression, is really with a negative tone, because He wants these people to know where their heart is. And so He says in verse 26, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. In summary, Christ is saying this, you are not coming to me because I'm precious. You're coming to me because I'm useful. You see a profit in following me. And Christ wanted to put an end to that right there. Basically, He was saying, if the reason you follow is to receive something and not me, then stop right now. And you see, He was preaching a whole sermon right there. He was saying that what's important is not to receive things from Christ, but to receive Christ. Not to see Christ as a means of blessing, but to see Christ as your blessing. And so He basically exposes from here on how we're to see Christ as this blessing. And basically, the word bread is the theme of the whole message, and that this bread comes from heaven. You're to see Christ as bread, but a bread not earthly, a bread heavenly. So that's why the theme of this passage is bread of heaven. And basically Christ announces to their hearts what is the bread that they want. This passage shows us, it shows you, the bread that you want by nature. And it has many varieties in it. But it's all boiling down to this reality of not being Christ. That's the bread we want by nature. And our second point will be, what is the bread you need? Because Christ points them to the bread that they need. He's pointing you to the bread you need. And then also announcing that this is the bread that you must eat. You must eat of this bread that Christ announces. Well, just one other aspect of introduction. This is the first of that series of seven statements of I am in the book of John. He will later say, I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the last will be, I am the true vine. But he begins with this one. I am the bread of life. So the first I ams has to do with nurture. Where do you receive your life? It's from the bread of heaven, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's consider what we learn in this passage about the bread that you want. What is the bread that you want by nature? What was the bread that these men and women were wanting? And Christ, through revealing to them the bread they wanted, starts shaping their minds and guiding them to the bread that they ought to want, the bread that they should desire. And we find out what is the bread you want by looking at the very errors and sins that these people had. It's a sequence of them. And as Christ corrects one of their errors, they fall and reveal the next one. Really, all of them were there in the muck of their hearts. But through the questioning of Christ and the discerning that Christ is wanting them to make, more and more of these errors start coming out. So the first one of them is materialism. And we see this from Christ's own first announcing to them. You are seeking not me, you are seeking things. You look at me and you see like a dollar sign, something that you can profit from. You want earthly bread, materialism. They want things they can see, they can touch, they can fill their stomachs with. John Piper says basically what was happening here is they had their bellies full the day before, but now they already have their bellies empty. So their minds can't even think of, he created bread from nothing. He didn't make that bread become more. He created bread. And yes, he had some. But 5,000 bread does not come from 5 loaves. These men were supposed to be shaken in their hearts and see they are before their own Creator. And Christ is as if saying, do you realize who you are seeking? Do you seek your Creator? Or do you seek the creator of bread because you want to fill your bellies again and be gone for the day? Materialism was their first problem. But as they correct their problem of materialism, and he says to them that they ought to labor, verse 27, he uses the word labor. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto eternal life. Then they hold on to that concept of labor and they reveal their next error in verse 28. And it's that of self-righteousness. Look what they say. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Okay, Jesus, labor. What do we have to do? What do we labor so that we can labor the labor of God? They're thinking, all right, if it's up to me, tell me what I need to do and it'll be no problem. So they reveal self-righteousness. They think that they have what it takes to labor for this meat that does not perish. This basically is saying, okay, I don't want your bread anymore. I want my bread. If I can work it, teach me and I'll do it. So the problem of materialism is saying, give me real bread. The problem of self-righteousness is, teach me how to make my own bread. And it's a horrible life to live your life thinking that you will one day be in heaven through your works. Because in essence, people who do this are working to go to hell. They are working hard, but for their own condemnation. Martin Luther, he called those who seek to be saved by their own merits the devil's martyrs. And this is why. Because they suffer much and take much pains to go to hell. So Christ reveals to them that they are being self-righteous. Look in verse 29. This is where He cures them from that. He says, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." He's saying, stop thinking of what you have to do. The work, I mean, is this: faith. Exercise confidence in the one God has sent. God is the one who works. He's the one who sent. And He sent one who will do the work. And you trust Him. That's the work. In essence, Jesus is saying, it's no work of your own. You need the gift of faith to do this. Later on, he'll touch this directly. That it's the Father who gives. So He's saying, no, there's no work. You can't create your own bread. You need Christ. And now, Christ goes and gives a clear explanation of this. But then in verse 30, we see another sin. As soon as Christ says that they must believe, and they understand it means to trust that man before them, well, they reveal this third problem, and it's the problem of unbelief. Because look what they say in verse 30. They said furthermore unto Him, "What sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee?" They're basically saying, fine, we will believe Thee, but first give us a sign. Give us proof. These men are bold enough to ask Christ for credentials. This is what they're saying. Give me your credentials for us to believe. What does that mean? They're saying, we don't believe. We don't believe in You. We will as soon as You give us proof. And of course, that's a lie, because Christ gave plenty of proof. These are the people who still have within their system that miraculous bread from the day before. And they are asking for credentials from the Creator of their very soul and body. So unbelief is their other sin. And now the unbelief makes you want what kind of bread? Materialism makes you want real bread, thinking that will make me go. Self-righteousness makes you want your own bread. And now unbelief makes you want the wrong bread. Because if you don't have belief in Christ, you will seek bread everywhere else but in Christ. You will seek other religions. You will seek other means of maintaining your life, of being nurtured. But you won't seek it in Christ. Faith is the only thing that will make you look to Christ and say, He is the bread of heaven. He is the one I want to partake of and live from and entrust my life. So Christ deals with their problem of sin. As He goes on, their problem of unbelief, as He goes on explaining, but even as they show their unbelief, they reveal another problem. They're not only bold enough to ask for credentials, they give some suggestions. In verse 31, they say, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So they're saying, here's an example. Our people lived off of manna that came from heaven every single day. We know that You gave bread to us yesterday, but that was one day and it's over. They had it for 40 years from the hand of Moses. Can't you repeat that? This is what they're saying. So, not only unbelief, but now this is the fourth sin that you see. They were in scriptural error. They did not understand their Bibles. It's as simple as that. And how do we know it? Because Christ corrects them there. Look at verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. See, in their minds they were saying, there's the man Moses. They trusted Moses. He brought manna from heaven. Jesus is saying, no, it wasn't Moses. You have it all wrong. And then he says, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So Moses is saying, Jesus is saying two things. It wasn't about Moses. It was God who gave that manna. And it wasn't about manna. It was about me. Look what Jesus says when he corrects, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. It's the whole context of presenting himself as that bread. He's saying all those 40 years those people were receiving bread from heaven was a sermon pointing to the one he would provide. That bread gave them temporary life for each day. But God was saying, I will give you one who will give you life eternal. Trust and wait. And so Jesus is correcting them and saying, you don't know your Bibles. All of that was typology. It was pointing to me. I'm the one whom you should desire, whom you should eat from. And so they had the problem of materialism, self-righteousness, unbelief, scriptural error. And this scriptural error, interestingly, made them seek for religious bread. They wanted religious bread. Many people are satisfied with that kind of bread, but their souls deep within aren't. If you're finding your nutrient in spiritual food, reading God's Word, going to church, trying to do all things right, but you do not look to Christ in faith, this is where you're at. You're with a scriptural error. You have to realize that will not feed your soul unto eternal life. Only Christ Himself will. So don't be satisfied with religious food. Look to Christ as the bread from heaven that you need. The fifth error that they have, we see this in verse 34. Well, before we go to verse 34, in verse 32 and 33, Christ corrects their scriptural error in verse 32. And then verse 33, he announces more. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Look at the scope. It's not to you all who are seeking, to Israel. It's to the world. The whole world who would believe in Christ would have this eternal life. And now in verse 34, we see the fifth error and sin in the hearts of these, and common in our hearts. And it's an error of confusion. Because look what they say now. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Two problems you see there. Jesus just said that this bread gives eternal life. So if you receive once, you have it. But they say, evermore. In essence, you don't need this bread evermore in the sense that they're thinking. You need physical bread evermore. Every morning we need our daily bread. But Christ, you have Him, and you have Him once, you have Him forever. Yes, you feed upon Him daily, but it's not like you're being saved every day again. Once you have the Lord Jesus, He will never leave you or lose you. And they're so confused. They're saying, give me that bread. Give us now that bread. They're acting like that woman at the well. Fine, if I can drink that water, I will never have to come here and draw water. Give me then of that water. They're still thinking in a physical way, all mixed, all confused. Confusion. And really what this confusion does is make you want any bread. Anything's fine. You meet people that way, don't you? They're with their hands in five different jars. They're doing a little bit of this religion, a little bit of that, and a little bit of this kind of philosophy, because you never know what will be really the right thing. So let me try all that I can. Whatever seems to work. That's confusion. And what Christ is doing is exactly this, trying to be very clear. It's amazing to see the preciseness with which Christ is driving these confused, materialistic, self-righteous, full of unfaith, unbelief, and full of error in understanding the Scripture. He's trying to be very careful, very precise. And we'll see this more clearly soon, too. And the last one that we see that is their sin, their error, is that of disdain. From verse 35 all the way to verse 40, Christ is doing this. He's defining. He's making clear. He's announcing with the clearest words He could ever do. Verse 35 has been seen to be one of the clearest declaration of who He is. And in the context of this bread He's talking about, He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. You find here the definition of faith. You find the definition of who Christ is. He's the one who gives life. And you never need to try to find it anywhere else. But then He defines more and explains more. And verse 41 shows this last sin of theirs. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? So this is now their disdain. This is the last sin and error that we see very clearly in this whole section. Why disdain? Well, they're disdaining Christ's message. They're murmuring because He said, I am the bread who came from heaven. They don't like that. And they're also disdaining who He is, His background, the fact that He's a son of a carpenter, a poor man, someone local. How can someone local be where we rest our whole life upon? They're disdaining Christ. And when you disdain Christ, this is the kind of bread you seek. It's another bread. You see? If Christ is disdained, you'll look everywhere else for bread but in Christ. So just to summarize this portion, what is the bread that you want by nature? Our sin of materialism would lead us to real bread that you can see and think, there's my life. I need food. Our problem of self-righteousness makes us think, I can make my own bread. I want my bread. I'll work my way. Our sin of unbelief makes us pursue the wrong bread. Our sin of scriptural error would make us pursue a spiritual bread, but not the true one yet. Confusion makes you seek any bread. Even if Jesus is one of them, you feel fine. See, He's there too. But that's not good enough for Christ. And our sin of disdaining Christ makes us seek another bread. See, you disdain Christ, so you seek everywhere else for bread. And Christ all the while is saying, no, don't seek all those false ways of obtaining life. Seek Me. And so our second point is the bread that you need. This is what Christ is guiding us to see, the bread that you need. And He makes it clear that this is Him, that He is the bread of heaven. He says it in four different ways. He said that He is the bread of God in verse 33. He says He is the bread of life in verse 35 and 48. Two times, I am the bread of life. And then in verse 51, He says He's the living bread from heaven. And this whole idea of being bread not only here on earth, but that it came from heaven. And He says that five times, came down from heaven. If you follow through in verse 33, He says, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven. And then verse 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. And verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. And 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And 58, This is that bread which came down from heaven. This is what I mean when Christ is clearly trying to clarify in their minds things when they are so foggy. Can there be any doubt who is the true bread and where He comes from and that He is the bread you need? And now let's consider briefly, why is Christ the bread of heaven? He announces in three ways why He is the bread from heaven. First is by way of sovereignty. In verse 37a, we notice this. He says, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me." See, Christ has this authority to be the one that gives life in Himself because the Father gave Him those who would come to Him to have life. There's sovereignty involving all of this. And we also see sovereignty in verse 44, where Jesus says, "No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him." So we have to realize it's all a matter of God's sovereignty that Christ is the bread of heaven. It's not a matter of our selecting that bread and being bright enough to choose Him. No, it's a matter of realizing there's no other, that He is sovereign, that He was sent sovereignly, and that we are sent unto Him by the sovereign grace of God. But then also note that there's also submission in this whole equation. Submission from the part of Christ Himself. So here you already see the idea of humiliation in Christ. Here we see in verse 38, He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me." So Christ is basically saying, I'm the one you must feed upon. And this is if you want to be obedient to God, your Creator. I was sent by Him not to do My will. I'm not here on a personal errand. This is a errand of the Trinity. It's a Trinitarian errand that I'm upon. I'm not here on my own. And Matthew Henry says this in regards to this complete submission of the Son to the Father. He said, "He came into the world as God's great agent and the world's great physician. It was not any private business that brought Him hither, but He came to settle affairs between parties no less considerable than the great Creator and the whole creation." Christ came as an agent of God to reconcile the Creator with creation. All who would look upon Him would be reconciled to their Creator. And also there's an element of sacrifice. Christ is the bread of heaven because of sovereignty, submission, but also sacrifice. And we see this in the last few words of verse 51b, where He said, "The bread I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Father gave Him to us, and the Son is saying, "I will give My flesh." He's saying, I will die. I will suffer. I will be given. So there's sacrifice also involved. Now that is, why is Christ the bread of heaven? But this leads us into this last part of this point too. Why is Christ the bread that you need? He is the bread of heaven because of sovereignty, because of sacrifice, because of submission. He came in a Trinitarian errand. Now, why would you have Christ as the one you would feed upon personally? Why is He the one you need? And these are all the things that He speaks in terms of what you need. The first is satisfaction. And we find this in verse 35. Verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on Me shall never thirst." Christ is saying, you will never ever find satisfaction in no one and nothing else but in Me. If you are outside of Christ, you really know deep inside what this means. And the only where to go, only place to go is Christ. This is what Jesus is saying. And as a believer, you have to repeatedly remember this because our sinful nature will lead us elsewhere for satisfaction. And we must say, no, it is Christ and Him alone. And feed upon Him daily by faith. Well, satisfaction. Every soul needs Christ. And so only Christ will satisfy your soul. And now also in Christ you find security. Christ is making that very clear, that there's security in Christ. In verse 37, the very last phrase, He says that, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Christ, He will never cast you away. He will keep you. And He'll never lose you. In verse 39, He says that word. He says, This is the Father's will which hath sent Me, that all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing. And the word lose is in saying destroy. Have no more because it's just broken. The Lord will never take you to Himself and then let you drop and you break and you're lost. No, that will never, ever happen when you're in Christ. So see, this is why you need Christ as the bread of heaven, because of security, because of satisfaction. And there's still an element of security in all that Christ says about the raising. You might say, well, what about death? I see of Christians who die. Where's the security there? Well, this is Christ's answer. He says, I will raise you. Yes, you will die, but you will live. With Me, there is resurrection unto life. And He says this again with the whole notion of making this so clear. In verse 39, He says, And this is the Father's will which hath sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, the very next verse, the very last phrase, He says, And I will raise Him up at the last day. Verse 44, He repeats it. He says, And I will raise Him up at the last day. And verse 54, which we didn't read in the first reading, but He says in verse 54, the last phrase, I will raise Him up at the last day. So you see this security. Four times Christ puts into this discourse, I will raise you up. Yes, death will come. It'll be scary, but I will raise you up. So there's satisfaction, security, and lastly, summarizing all of this, there's salvation. There's salvation in Christ. Six times the Lord Jesus Christ says that there is everlasting life with Him. Do you notice what Christ is doing? The topic of bread of heaven, He says it four times. The fact that He raises people, He says it four times. And the fact that He says that He's from heaven, He says it five times. And the reality that there's eternal life with Him, He says it six times. And all of that is crowned with that title, Verily, verily, I say unto you. And He uses that phrase four times. There's only one other discourse where during that whole discourse, Christ says, Verily, verily, four times. It's when He's washing the feet of the disciples. During that whole discourse, He says it at various pauses. Verily, verily. And this is the other one. So He puts all this emphasis and then He repeats all of these precious truths. There are 19 of them altogether. So this is why this is the bread that you need. The bread you and I want by nature is all the wrong kind of bread. The bread that you need is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven. And number three, we consider the bread that you must eat. Christ is not merely to be looked upon as a figure in history. The cross is not merely something that happened in history and you have it in your minds as a historical marker. No, Christ says, come. He says, eat. He says, believe. So Christ is the bread that you must eat. And of course, the whole concept of eating and drinking is a figure of speech that speaks of faith. Now, before we speak a little about faith, why? Let this be impressed upon your mind. Why is it that Jesus is whom you need to eat as the bread of heaven? Well, simply because of this, it's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of your life or eternal condemnation. And this is part also of what Christ wants to make very clear to these people. He loves them so dearly that He will not be satisfied with numbers. If He was, like many churches are being today, He would never drive the people away. The numbers would satisfy and He would keep them there and never say anything negative. But He loves their souls too dearly for that. And so He tells them, "You are not feeding upon Me. And if you don't, you will die. And what good will it be to have you following a few years and then be eternally tormented in hell?" So Christ loves them, and He says that it's a matter of life or death. And we find this very clearly in several places. One of them is in verse 49. He starts saying that this is what happens with physical bread, with your bread, with any other bread, with spiritual bread, with another bread. This is what will happen. Verse 49. "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." The potatoes we eat, the meat, they nourish us daily. But it will not keep us into eternity. So Christ is saying, see, there's the reality of death here. In verse 50, He says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." See, He's saying, if you eat of Me, you will have exactly what you need. You will have life. And we went through where Christ says so many times, eternal life, everlasting life. In verse 53, He says it again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." It's a matter of life or death. That is why Jesus is the bread you must eat. This is the importance of the Lord's Supper. We sit and we partake of bread and wine. It reminds us of Christ who died for us. And it's teaching us, if I don't believe in Christ, if I don't feed upon Him, I am dead. Now, not that we look at the supper and see that as giving us life. No, that's another error. That's looking at it materialistically. We don't want to go there. We know it's all symbolic, pointing us to the Lord Jesus. But yes, spiritually, through faith, we're feeding upon Him again. The Lord's Supper teaches us that. Just as we go to every meal, we're not feeling like we're dying, but if you don't eat that meal, and if you don't eat the next one, and you go on like that for 40 days, you die. So every time you eat at the meal, you are confessing this. I need this food to live. When you sit at the Lord's table, you are confessing this to one another and to Christ, to God, to the Holy Spirit. I need Christ or I die. It's a matter of life or death. That's why you need the bread from heaven to eat of Him. And how now? How do you eat this bread? And Christ made it clear, it's by faith. It's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps the most clear statement is in verse 35, where Christ does a parallel. In verse 35, He says, "I am the bread of life." So He announces who He is. There's an element of having to eat because He says bread. So then He says, "He that cometh to Me shall never hunger." That's the first phrase. Come, no hunger, never. And then the next phrase is, "He that believeth on Me shall never thirst." To hunger and to thirst are one and the same thing. If you have no food, if you have no water, you die. And what Christ is saying is to come and to believe is the same thing. And here's where you see that, yes, believe is when you have in your mind, I know the Lord Jesus died on the cross. I know He was sent by God. But if you just stop there, that's not true faith. True faith is when you then come. You come to this Christ who came to you. And now Christ is making clear that this come has nothing to do with leaving where you are and going somewhere. It's not that kind of work. In a lot of churches, they think the day they'll be saved is when the pastor finally says an appeal and people leave their chairs and they come to the front. They're prayed for, and because they come, they're saved. This is not what Christ is saying. There's no muscular work to this coming. It's all in the heart. It's all within your very soul that you should come to the Lord Jesus. That you should see Him as the one that would give you life. That would forgive you of your sins. That would cleanse you. That would give you this eternal satisfaction. And not that you should not yearn for more of Christ. It's not that kind of hunger that He takes away. No, you'll be ever hungrier for righteousness. For holiness. But you will seek nowhere else. It just means, John Piper said this in a sermon. He said, when you get hungry and you're a Christian, you get hungry spiritually, you know exactly where to go. To the bread of heaven. Outside of Christ, you will go to all those other breads. But now that you're a Christian, it's not so much meaning there's no more hunger. There should be that yearning, but you'll know exactly where to go. You'll go to Christ again and again and again. And it's in that sense that you're satisfied. You don't need to look anywhere else. May God give you the grace to see Christ as this bread that you need. And that by faith, knowing this faith comes from the Lord, but exercising it and coming, that you would be fed either for the first time or on continuously in eternity. Let us pray.